We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
5 years, it was like last year, you know. We did what we could, you know, and you know, I'm only 2 months from being free agent, and see, like I said, we'll see how it goes over there, and we'll see how it goes in the offseason with the talks.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was the voice of Javi Baez in his farewell Zoom conference before he became a New York Met. And that was shortly after Chris Bryant became a San Francisco Giant. And that was after Anthony Rizzo became a New York Yankee. What's going on here? Craig Kimbrell's with the White Sox, that, Bruce.
You know, David, just you saying that very strange. Very strange to hear and comprehend. Yep.
Lot to process for Sox fans, Cubs fans, mostly Cubs fans. Sox fans are planning October already. And 312-644-6767. Which team got more done? Which team accomplished most at the trade deadline? Was it the Cubs in their rebuilding efforts or the Sox as they are planning, you know, to contend and become that World Series favorite from the American League? Bruce, but I think a lot of this, before we get to that point, we talk about the analytical portion of it, the baseball portion of it, emotionally took a toll on a lot of people. We heard you and Rizzo talking before the break. Jed Hoyer also, I felt like, was very honest about how difficult this was from an emotional standpoint. And that's not something that you can overlook, certainly, yet, even though he may have done the only thing he felt like he could do.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Hoyer goes back, you know, all the way with Rizzo. No one in baseball has a deeper connection with Anthony Rizzo than Hoyer, who was a part of Theo Epstein's front office when Jason McLeod was the scouting person there, and they drafted Anthony Rizzo. Then McLeod and Hoyer go to run the Padres back in 2009, and Hoyer entices Epstein to trade Rizzo to him in a big deal for Gonzalez and a few other people, final parts to a puzzle. And then when Hoyer comes over here as the GM under Epstein, again, they trade for Anthony Rizzo. So nobody's been more involved with Anthony Rizzo in baseball than Hoyer. So when you hear the emotion from Hoyer, it's so real. And look, Hoyer's really a good guy. I mean, we're lucky in this town to have exceptional front office guys in baseball that are really good people as well. And that makes my job a lot easier every day to talk to these wonderful guys. But on top of that, you could tell this was like losing a brother for Jed Hoyer.
And yet he was feeling accountable, and he sounded a little vulnerable in doing so. Here's what he had to say about that.
These are guys that we've watched grow up. You know, these are guys that we all care about. I care about these guys deeply, and we have all these shared experiences. And so, you know, making those phone calls today and talking to Riz yesterday, I mean, the decisions that we have to make in this game sometime are really difficult. And I hope that people don't ever think that, like, you know, there's not like real emotion, you know, that goes into doing that. I mean, those guys, they're icons here. They came in here. They did something that no one had ever done. And they talked about it for 3 or 4 years before they did it. And then they did it. And they deserve every video tribute, every, you know, sad tweet, everything that is out there. I mean, I feel the same way, you know? I don't want anyone to feel like there's a lack of emotion, because if anything, you know, these are friends. These are people that we've watched mature. And I think the difficulty is real. Did we decide as a group to not have them play the last 2 months here? We did, but you know, I love those guys. And I hope people understand that what we created was really special.
Bruce, I know that was Jed Hoyer yesterday. And you know, when you've been around a long time, but when you're a baseball executive and you're trading players who have legacies, and maybe usually it's just one individual player, but this is multiple players. If you're trading players with legacies, you essentially are writing your own, aren't you? And by doing that, Jed Hoyer always is going to be the guy who was in charge of the dismantling. And fair or not, that's just the way it works.
Well, you know, he's got to also get credit for the World Championship as well, and being a part of the team that signed Anthony Rizzo to a 7-year, $44 million deal that ended up being a 9-year, $70 million deal. That deal worked out great for Anthony Rizzo, but let me tell you something. Epstein and Hoyer did something more fantastic with it. They saved themselves $150 million in that deal, okay? That Bruce, money went toward other players that helped them win a point. World Series. Yeah,
great point. I'm not saying what I declared was fair.
No, I understand.
But we both know the World Series is always going to be, well, yeah, this is Theo Epstein's plan. And the dismantling is always going to be Jed Hoyer's burden. And that's impossible to ignore in sports when we oversimplify things. And in our memories, that World Series is always going to be associated more with Theo, even though Jed had played his big role. And this is always going to be associated with Jed, even though people want to point the finger higher to Tom Ricketts.
I remember my friend saying that when the Cubs traded Billy Williams in the middle of 1970s, they would never go to Wrigley Field again. I also heard it when Jenkins went, and Santo, of all things, being traded to the Chicago White Sox. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine?
Ouch.
I mean, look, Kimbrel was that's tough, okay? But can you imagine if it was Bryant going to the White Sox rather than Kimbrel?
Ouch.
Okay. How about Rizzo or Baez?
I
don't think those trades could have been made. Honestly, maybe I'm naive about it, but I don't think the Cubs could have sat there and gone, okay, we can trade Kimbrel, but we heard enough rumors about Baez going to the White Sox as well.
Yeah.
I just don't think they could have pulled the trigger on that, honestly.
Imagine Twitter on the day that Ron Santo got traded from the Cubs to the White Sox. Imagine what social media reaction would have been that day back in the 70s.
Social media was a typewriter and some guy saying, here, take this to the editor. You know, I'm done with this story. Put this up.
And you and the grobber.
Yeah, exactly. We were sharing a typewriter. But honestly, David, Maybe I'm naive, but I don't think, no matter what they got back, I don't think they could have traded the position players who were out there every day helping them. I might be wrong about that. And if you think so, 312-644-6767 is our number here to talk Sox and Cubs. David, I just don't think, I think,
well, I think
Kimbrel's
Bruce,
a different,
being,
a different,
you're,
a different
you're,
dynamic.
You're being practical, and I think you're practical because you're saying that it's difficult to remove emotion from the equation, and I think you're exactly right. Jed Hoyer did as good of a job as you could do in making this a baseball equation and trying to separate that emotion from the decision-making process like he had to, because you don't get rid of 9 players in the course of 2 weeks in 8 different trades without being able to separate your head from your heart. And that's hard to do. And we heard that from David Ross, who's you know, not only the manager of these three players, a four that got dealt yesterday, but the three specifically that had won a World Series with, we heard from David Ross and just how emotional he felt been saying goodbye.
Emotional, I think. Emotional, first word that comes to mind. Sad, difficult. A lot of negative words that I usually don't like to use on these Zooms. I'm the manager of the team. We got a time to put our big boy pants on and move forward. You know, it's a good opportunity. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that in a situation where we didn't get to where we needed to be, they get a chance to go chase a playoff berth, but they're used to, and that's what's fun about baseball. It's not fun to lose, and they get a chance to go to some teams that are in the hunt, chasing championships, and they're very good at that. They've established that. I'm happy for them. But, you know, outside of the manager side of me, I feel like I'm losing some friends for a minute, and I think that's difficult.
That's David Ross, Friday in Washington. And Bruce, I know that you saw the video, but boy, Chris Bryant getting the news, hugging Anthony Iaposi, wiping a tear from his eye. And I think that captured just the real emotion that is in play here. These guys are more than just robots who, you know, reduced to batting averages and on base percentages. These are real emotions and real guys having to accept reality.
Ross kind of sounded like a manager at Gibson's who was sent over to Burger King, you know, to run that. And I love both places. I'm big advocate of both places. But he, you know, this is a different world for David Ross to try to navigate. I know he might have been alerted and knew that this day was coming, but there it's one thing, as you talk about, with us getting used to it and the players getting used to it. It's one thing to talk about losing all these iconic players, another to write out a different lineup with guys that you just shook hands with and met for the first time.
Bruce, that's no way to talk about Iowa Cubs manager David Ross now. Be polite, be kind. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Time now to go out to let you share in on your opinions on the BetQL Bet Smarter Beat the Books hotline. Download BetQL app today or BetQLnetwork.com. That is where we find Craig on the Northwest side. Good morning, Craig. Welcome to the show.
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
I'm well, and I'm not. Maybe I'm being unrealistic. I'm just a little underwhelmed with what the Cubs received in return. The trades I knew were coming, I thought they could get a little more. And Kimbrel to the White Sox really bothers me. They fleeced the Cubs for Jimenez and Cease, and I don't like the fact that the White Sox are now one of the favorites for the World Series.
Thanks, Craig.
Spoken like a true Cub fan.
Absolutely.
Craig, you know, again, these names, you know, you don't know Anderson Espinosa. You don't know Pete Crow Armstrong. You don't know Caleb Killian. You don't know these guys. But, you know, one of those names like Crow Armstrong might be the next great leadoff man center fielder for the Cubs in 2 years. So these are the great unknowns where these trades initially look like a steal for the other teams. But in reality, you know, the John Smoltzes, the Jeff Bagwells, the Eloy Jimenez come out of some of these trades and they become superstars.
Or it could be Albert Almora, Bruce. I mean, let's be honest here. We don't know the quality of the prospect really based on anything but these arbitrary rankings, which could be, you know, put together by people depending on the ranking that have very limited exposure or knowledge to these prospects who spent last year not playing baseball because of the pandemic. Look, I respect everybody who ranks minor league prospects for a living. It's a very difficult job. But I don't know that I can say the Cubs got a great haul in return or a terrible one, because these are just names on a page to us.
David, if I told you that Pete Crow Armstrong went to Harvard Westlake High School in California and his parents are both movie stars, would you feel better about this right now, knowing that he went to the same high school that Giolito, that Freed, that Armstrong went to? No?
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew you were going to bring that up, and I only feel good about it if he can hit Lucas Giolito. Not that he shares the same type of diploma as Lucas Giolito, and his parents can relate to the Hollywood lifestyle like Lucas Giolito. He may be a good player. He may be, but you know that, and that these are conversations that are going to be going on for the next 18 months or so, or however long it takes for him 2 years to get to the big leagues. Now it's just like Craig's yeah, point is well taken. You.
Yeah, and I know, but you're right. He's right now just a young man who's rehabbing from labrum surgery, and no one knows anything about him. But again, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow for Cub fans, but this was inevitable. All things come to an end. You know, I just think that trying to identify what the team is going to look like starting in spring training of 2022 is a fascinating thing for me as both a fan and a reporter. The idea of how this team will, you know, start to look. Again, if you trade for a Madrigal, if you trade for a Hoyer for the bullpen, it's not like you're throwing up your arms and saying, you know, we're not going to compete right away. You know, you go out and get yourself one of these free agent shortstops to go along with Madrigal. You know, there's going to be five of them out there, all right? That four of them that aren't named Baez. And all of a sudden you have an up the middle that looks a little bit different than it does right today. That's a different dynamic. Again, we think there's going to be $100 million out there that the Cubs will potentially be able to spend once the CBA is straightened out, and we know what the culture of baseball and the format of baseball is as far as rules go after December 1st.
I'm glad you mentioned the Madrigal trade, because that is probably the highest prospect and the best one the Cubs got among the players that they traded for. And I was a little surprised the White Sox gave up Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer, because I thought that the haul for Craig Kimbrell might be younger players, might not be guys who were as major league ready. Madrigal certainly can play at the major league level. We have seen that. Were you surprised Steve Stone gave the unflattering review that he did on our station yesterday in talking about some of Madrigal's limitations? I think that has to be something that nobody can ignore, because Steve is respected and he has seen a lot of Nick Madrigal. So that balanced maybe some of the, not enthusiasm, but some of the perspective in the excitement of getting an everyday second baseman.
Look, Steve is the best analyst that I probably have ever heard, you know, as far as baseball goes, and he's a good friend. But I don't agree with all of his assessments. I do agree that each player has holes, and Madrigal is no different. You know, his throwing was a little off this year. On-base percentage-wise, other than his batting average, he doesn't walk very much. There's no OPS in his game. But what I like is, I like the player, David. We still look at players. I mean, I know you watch games, you watch players. I like the feistiness. I like the battling of Madrigal and at bats. I like the way he goes from first to third, even though sometimes it's a little reckless. There's a great energy about Nick Madrigal that I think he's going to bring to the North Side.
And he's only got 2,904 hits to get to 3,000 hits as a Cub. So we know that he is
I'll have to get new T-shirts for him with
on
the
his
Cubs.
Way. Yeah, new T-shirts to be handed out. I think that somebody in Wrigleyville could figure out that one. They're good at doing T-shirts at Wrigley Field. Well, Bruce, we heard from Jed Hoyer. We heard the emotion in his voice. There was emotion in Rick Hahn's voice, though, for a different reason. It's called excitement, and we will hear what the White Sox general manager had to say next inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball.
host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Craig, is it surprising the White Sox grab you because they have a pretty accomplished closer? Were you kind of surprised by it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously a little bit. I mean, you really have no idea when it comes down to these last minute things, but I'm excited. Like I said, it's a great ball club and I'm happy to be a part of them and get things going.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw until 11 o'clock talking baseball as we do 52 weeks a year here on Saturday morning. That was the voice of Craig Kimbrell, who was responding to the trade from the Cubs to the White Sox. Cubs get Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer back in return. The White Sox get Kimbrell. Bruce, do I refer to him as White Sox closer Craig Kimbrell or White Sox relief pitcher Craig Kimbrell?
Back end bullpen man Craig Kimbrell. That's going to be fascinating today when I go out to the ballpark and Tony has had his conversation with Kimbrell to talk about how he's going to be used. My guess is that since Hendricks has been there so long and has done so much there this year, so long meaning this season, that his role will stay the same and that Kimbrell will be used, 2 days saves by Hendricks, 2 days in a row. Then Kimbrell in tie games. Hendricks comes in maybe in the eighth inning and pitches an inning. Kimbrell pitches the ninth if they get the lead. I think there's a lot of different ways that they can do this, David, and keep both guys happy. The thing that I pointed out yesterday to Han, or La Russa, rather, was both guys are paid handsomely, okay? Kimbrell has another $16 million coming for next year. With the other guy here, he's being paid two more years as well. So, you know, the fact that Hendricks and Kimbrell are not looking for contracts and will not be on an ego trip because of the fact that they're trying to make get the most saves and have the most money down the road, I think is a significant part of why you can make a trade like this and it can work out.
Fair point, Bruce. Dynamic's going to be tricky. I think with closers, it just is. And I do wonder, and I'm not saying that I think this is a great problem for any manager to have. You've got a bullpen that now, in theory, on paper, rivals the Nasty Boys of Lou Piniella those days. Remember Dibble and company in Charlton? And you look at that reference historically. You look at the Royals, the way that they were a lockdown bullpen. But, Bruce, let's just consider this. Liam Hendricks has more versatility, I think we can agree, than Craig Kimbrell. Liam Hendricks can be used for six out saves. He can be used, the Andrew Miller example is possible but unlikely. But still, my point would be, isn't Craig Kimbrell too historically entrenched in the last three outs of the ninth inning? This is a guy with Hall of Fame credentials to tinker with that now. So if he comes over, isn't he maybe your de facto closer and you work in Hendricks around him rather than the other way around? Because Liam Hendricks, as good as he is, and certainly he was great last night, I do wonder if that's going to be part of the Sox plan.
It's a fair point, David. It really is. But look back to the last year for the Cubs. Kimbrell loses his closing job to begin that season there, right? And then he has a bad month of July or bad month of August. He turns it around completely in September, doesn't allow a run, but he's still the setup man, okay? I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. That he had positive experience as a setup man because David Ross never thought he was going to be the closer last year. They were still repairing him, getting him mentally readjusted to being the man again after failing miserably when he came over in 2019 and not being able to grab control of it in early 2020, even though it was only a 60-game season. So the positive effect of him having been a setup man, I think Han and Kenny Williams did their homework, knowing that there is flexibility there. And there is flexibility in Hendricks, as you point out, who can throw two innings in a row and come in the seventh or eighth inning and shut it down. How many times have we heard managers say in the last 10 years, I don't even have to complete the sentence, right? Sometimes the save is in the sixth or seventh inning, you know, when the game's on the line, when we want to stay with a small lead, when the team has the bases loaded and one out. So it's true that there are pivotal times in each ball game that shows up where to react to it with a shutdown pitcher. It doesn't even have to be these two guys. You got Kopech, who's vying for the Rookie of the Year award with Vaughn pitching lights out in the bullpen. You got Crochet that's coming along still throwing at 100 miles an hour. You have Bummer, who is trying to get straightened out and being the pitcher he was before and showing some signs of the unhittable slider again. Lots of weapons in that Chicago White Sox bullpen.
It now really is the best bullpen in baseball. And I think two points are worth remembering, Bruce. That's a really good perspective. Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrell, we heard it from Tony La Russa. You can do a little research and find out for yourself. They are friends. They have a relationship that dates back to their involvement in a Christian outreach group from professional athletes. I think this goes back several years, but it is a relationship that may factor in, because if you check your ego at the door, easier said than done, but easier to do if it's with somebody who you consider a friend or somebody that you have gotten to know away from the field. That's the first point. The second one is that all of these things are speculative and all these things are really good points of discussion, but the White Sox know what they're getting and they're prepared for it. Why? They wanted this. They targeted this. They had a conversation, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, a couple weeks ago, and Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams said, if you had to pick one player, who would it be?
And lastly, right, Craig Kimbrell. Obviously, the resume speaks for itself. As I discussed with Craig a few weeks ago, Kenny and I asked each other, of all the players expected to be moved, let's assume we can only acquire one, who would it be? And he and I had the same answer, and that was the player we acquired today. We view him as playing a key role here, obviously, over the next few months, getting us in position for the postseason. But come October, providing Tony and Ethan and Hass with a variety of weapons at the back end to help shorten games.
That was Rick Hahn, and admitting Friday this was the guy that they wanted. So, Bruce, it's game seven. It's mid-October. The White Sox have a 4-3 lead over the Astros. It's the ALCS, and you win. You go to the World mm-hmm. Series. You protect the lead. You've got three outs. Both guys are rested. Both guys are ready. Yep. Who you go to?
Michael Kopech.
Smart aleck.
Well, I'm not necessarily just being a wise you-know-what.
Yes, you are.
And I am that. No, because who knows what the dynamic is going to be 2 months from now. We don't know that. We don't wish injury or a bad performance from anybody. But this is... This looks automatic, that you just put these robots out there and they get the job done. But we see even the greatest guys go through problems. We've seen Hendricks go through problems lately. I don't think the White Sox ever want to see him again throw two innings or try to get six outs. I don't think that's the best way to handle Hendricks going forward, because you have the luxury of having Kimbrell now, you have the luxury of the other guys, and you also have a contract for Hendricks for two more years that you want to get the most out of. You certainly don't want to burn him out in one season.
And Bruce, I think last night, almost as a reminder of all the things that we're talking about how you can have all the greatest plans in place and you can make the greatest trades in theory, still comes down to what happens on the mound and on the field. And Ryan Tepera, in his first outing for the White Sox, didn't go so well. didn't go so well. Gives up a home run to tie the game. That's the first homer he'd given up since, you know, late June, right? Over a month. So in theory, they have the best bullpen in baseball. And in theory, this is a great problem to have when you have two of the best closers in the game. But it's baseball, and sometimes baseball happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, the White Sox, look, if you're a White Sox fan today, you say, thank you, Jerry Reinsdorf. Thank you, Rick Hahn. Thank you, Kenny Williams, because you did exactly what you said you would wanted to do when you fired Ricky Renteria and you hired Tony La Russa. And that is, we are all in to win the World Series. Something that hadn't been heard on the South Side for a long time, especially during a four-year rebuild where they couldn't possibly say that. But this new method, the new way they went about it, the great trades that they made, the young players coming through their system, got you to this point. And Mr. Reinsdorf did not disappoint by allowing the checkbook to open again and add multi-millions of dollars into the mix here, as well as Williams and Hahn being stealth in their dealings and being ready when these opportunities came up to make the moves.
And Bruce, by the way, these are the big moves. You get Craig Kimbrell. That makes you a team with the bullpen that we just described. I think it was a real sneaky good move, and it gets overshadowed in all of the other seismic moves in with the Cubs and the White Sox. But Cesar Hernandez comes over from the Indians, and this is somebody that you look at as a switch hitter, as somebody you look at with his Gold Glove defense that, it's like if a tree falls in the middle of an infield, is it noise? I mean, this is something that is significant and overlooked, but he gives the White Sox some more options at the bottom of that batting order, wherever they choose to hit him.
David, I'm glad you brought that up. That's really smart to bring up, because not only does he do that, but getting Hernandez allowed them to trade Madrigal because of the fact that he's under contract for another year.
Right.
So with that in mind, you have your second baseman. You have your switch-hitting second baseman. As you said, he had a Gold Glove in the season in 2020. So this is a really good player that you're going to fit in. It hurts to lose Madrigal, but it doesn't hurt quite as much because you're prepared with a stealth move that you made right before it, before you make the big deal for Kimbrel.
And everything about this, according to Rick Hahn, is about October and putting the White Sox in a position to win.
Yeah, always going to come a point in the course of this rebuild process, as we had talked about from the start, when we had the opportunity to win. And we had to respect those opportunities, and we had to do everything in our power as a front office to maximize those opportunities. And it wasn't going to be easy. We've had to move players in the past. There were ones when we were at the 180-degree opposite point of this rebuild, that it wasn't easy to move established guys you had long-term relationships with, but it was necessary to move the process forward. Today was sort of the diametric opposite of those deals we made back at the winter of 2016, moving players that we had different types of long-term relationships with, back to drafting them or acquiring them as kids. But it was essential for us, we feel, to put us in the best position to take the most important and final step in this process.
Pretty clear message, Bruce.
No doubt about it. And again, everybody over 35th and Bill Veeck Drive have to feel really good about their opportunity and chances here. The one thing Tony La Russa told us earlier in the show, which really is synonymous with La Russa run teams, is no matter how big the lead is, that getting the most out of that team every day and showing emotion and passion every day to win is his charge. And boy, I think we saw enough emotion out of the White Sox yesterday to show that they're not going to take this big league for granted.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. We've got one more segment to try to put all of this in perspective here. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Think about it nonstop, because then you go crazy and then it takes away from what you do on the field. And I've been through that in early on in 18 and whatever, 19, 20. I let it kind of bubble up in there and kind of pay more attention to it in a negative way And now it's kind of, for me, it's just taking whatever in stride and saying to my, I can't control any of this. So there's no need to stress about it or worry about it.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was the voice of Gulp ex-Cub Chris Bryant earlier in the week talking about the mental burden of trade rumors, and the rumors became reality when the Cubs, just before the deadline, just before the 3 p.m. deadline on Friday, traded Chris Bryant to the Giants. The Giants pick up $7 million worth of salary remaining. Bruce, Scott Miller, the former Cub executive, the general manager of the Giants, that relationship had to help in terms of the Cubs doing business and Jed Hoyer pulling off that deal. We understand that Chris Bryant is expected to be in the Giants lineup later today, playing third base against the Astros and Zach Greinke. This is a move that you didn't want to see if you are a Cub fan, perhaps, but he joins a team 25 games over 500, atop the NL West, and his teammates again with Tommy La Stella, so maybe he can stay in his bouncy house.
Yeah, Tommy's going to do his very best to stay on the IL as long as he can. but it is going to be, when I saw Rizzo in the Yankee uniform and, Baez Met uniform, and now see KB in the Giants uniform, it's beyond bizarre to look at them there. And it kind of looks like Halloween to me, where they're dressing up. They're going to go trick-or-treating. They're not really going to play a baseball game. They're just dressing up in a major league team uniform. So it is strange. I know the Cub fans are going to have a hard time getting used to this, and especially because of the fact that we don't know the names that are going to replace them. We see the guys on the field, and with all due respect, some of them are very good players and will be around in 2022, but we do not know what that team is going to look like, and some of the 10, 12, 14 new guys that will be walking into Wrigley Field representing the Cubs next April.
Bruce, I felt like Chris Bryant was the Cubs' best player. Did you expect more in return than outfielder Alexandro Canario, ranked the number 9 player in the Giants system, and right-hander Caleb Killian, who is the 30th ranked player in the Giants system?
Can you ask me that again in 2 years?
Exactly. I guess that's part of the point, right?
I think it is a good point, and you can't shy away from the fact that if you were going to get real return for these guys, it had to be done a year or two ago, okay? This was just, doing the best you can at the last minute. And again, going into this, we only have another minute or two left before Rosenblum and Grody take over. But going into this, We knew after the Darvish trade that this day was coming, okay?
Right.
The Darvish trade should have told Cub fans everything they needed to know, that the retooling was on, that readjusting the way they spend their money, the way they build this team via young pitching, it's going to happen. So from all of that, looking at this right now, it was just delayed an extra couple months because the Cubs played really good baseball. And the bullpen pitched great all the way up through the first week of June.
You can know you're going to get punched in the gut, Bruce, but it's still going to hurt when it happens, and it's going to take your breath away. And that's what happened to a lot of Cub fans yesterday. They knew it was coming. They understood the reasons why, and it's still going to take a long time to process. And we will be here for you, 670 The Score, as your online and radio therapy. Cathartic, hopefully, today was for many Cub fans. White Sox fans, meanwhile, planning for the World Series. This was fun, Bruce.
It was. Adam Studzinski, job well done, as our great producer. We thank Tony La Russa for joining us. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Write Cubs and Sox material every day on our website at 670thescore.com. David, great show. Enjoyed it a lot. Check you out next week.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Adam. And stay tuned. Grody and Rosenblum are next. I'll talk to you Monday morning. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.